I feel an urgency about today's lesson. The Holy Spirit impressed on me really strong to do this message today. I don't know if it's because of the times that we're in, the times that we're coming into. I know many people of God that I trust are talking about a shaking that is coming. In a way, we've already been in quite a shaking, but apparently there might be some really difficult times ahead. That's all I know. But regardless of that, in my prayer time, this message came up within me. It's not a new message, but it's an urgent message. And I wouldn't tell you the title. The title is, There Is No Substitute for Maturity. There is no substitute for it. I almost feel like prophecy coming on me right now, which I'll yield to if that's really what he wants to do. But there is an urgency to this message. I pray that you prick your ears up, listen, pay attention. I'll just go ahead and tell you also ahead of time, if you're still dealing with some sin in your life, and nobody's perfect, but if you're dealing with what we call often deal breakers, fornication, adultery, stealing, things, vile things, it is time to deal with them. And in order to endure the shaking that's coming, listen, there's a time of a great falling away, which we see that happening all around us worldwide, a great falling away from the true Christian faith. And you do not want to be involved in that. You do not want to be part of that. And it's time to grow up. And okay, so I hope you can sense the urgency that I feel about this lesson. Now, this lesson's a little different than the past few weeks where he's just been having me pretty much, where he would lead me through the service and I didn't have notes. Today I have notes. Get your Bible out. Get a notepad. There's some things. This is going to be a teaching lesson today, but it is vitally important. It is very prophetic. It is, if you want to survive what's coming, and I mean as a Christian, pay attention. All right, here we go. Let's start off in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10. Now, while you're turning there, because I would really appreciate it if you'd look at these verses either in your printed Bible or your device, you know, however you read your Bible. I have a series called the 1 John series, and the subheading is Removing the Gray from Your Gospel. If you have not heard that series, Angie has just recently posted it. We not only have it at the website, but now we also have it at Rumble. And it's just go to Rumble, Gary Carpenter Ministries, follow, or you can click the Rumble button on the homepage of our website. When you get there, click playlists. And one of the playlists is the 1 John series. Now, it's 21 lessons, and they're all important. I highly recommend that series to you if you've not heard it. And if you have heard it, it might not hurt to hear it again because of the times we're coming into. Okay, end of that commercial message. By the way, they're free. And if you watch them on Rumble, there's no commercials. And we don't put any commercials in anyway. We don't monetize our messages. We don't receive any money from them. Okay. First, if you haven't found it by now, just listen. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now, this is a pretty severe verse. If you don't do righteousness, if you're not living holy, he says you're not of God. What? Oh, also, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now, if you want a further explanation, listen, the Greek language gives much more. If you want to know more about that, listen to the 1 John series. But for the lesson today, here's what's important. You notice the word children is in that verse twice. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Now, in both places, the children of God and the children of the devil, the Holy Spirit inspired John to use the same Greek word both times, and that Greek word is technon, T-E-K-N-O-N. Now, it's Strong's number, G-5043, and it just simply means the offspring, children, usually a son, it's usually in the male sense. So that's what technos, and John, he specifically uses the word technon for a reason, because that's not the only word in the Greek, in the New Testament, that refers to children, even children of God. Now, for example, go ahead and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 and 2. And I, brethren, as is Paul writing to the Corinthian church, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, now notice, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you are not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. So even as he's writing the letter to these really immature baby Christians, he still, even in this letter, he can't give them meat. Everything in 1 Corinthians is milk. Now, the word here is not technon. The word here is nepios, N-E-P-I-O-S. That is Strong's number G-2516. And it literally means an infant, and I mean an infant so tiny, it's not yet able to speak. Now, infants can go goo-goo and make noises and cry, and they can let you know when they're happy or mad. But it's specifically referring to an infant so little, so immature, it can't say mama yet. It can't communicate in articulate speech. And that's the word that the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to use concerning this church at Corinth. What's funny is that this isn't the lesson today, but Paul many times in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, he refers to them as, you are puffed up. they didn't think they were a baby church. He says, some of you are puffed up. You're like, oh, you know, here you guys think you're something. And in God's sight, you're such babies. In his sight, you can't even talk yet. And here you think you're something. Okay. Now, it's obvious that babies and adult children are both offspring of their parents. That's biology 101. Okay. I have all of my children now. My children are all adults now. They're all in their 50s. But I remember bringing them home from the hospital and, ooh, goo, goo, goo. I remember the first time I was holding little Angie in my arms and she reaches up. I'm looking down at her, you know, and she just reaches up and tweak. Her little personality was already developing in her, you know. She couldn't even talk yet, see. Oh, you love your baby so. Hey, don't ever say anything ugly. I don't care how ugly that baby is. Don't you ever tell that mama that baby's ugly. You're about to have the rats come down on you big time. Well, I don't care if all they do is eat, cry, make messes, poopies. Better not say nothing about my baby now. Nothing bad. You better not. That's the way God is. God loves this Corinthian church. He's so happy that they're born again. They don't know that they're babies, but God knows that they're babies. And that's why God is using the Apostle Paul, trying to instruct them so they can grow up. But it's important to understand, infants are also the children of God. But who John is talking about over there is technons. These are not infants. These are mature sons of God. These are the mature people of God, okay? So you have to notice now, once you really understand that really this church that Paul is writing to, the First Corinthian church, he says, I can't give you meat. What does that tell you? Everything in the book of First Corinthians is milk. Did you ever notice the gifts of the Spirit? the one place in the Bible, in the New Testament, where we have the most information about the gifts of the Spirit, where is that? It's in the letter to the 1 Corinthians. What does that tell you? It's milk. It's not, the gifts of the Spirit are milk, is milk. It's not meat. It's milk. This is for infants that can't talk yet. What? See, I'm just going to read a little bit of what I wrote here. See, most never notice that it's to that infant church that the most information that we have about the gifts of the Spirit is written. Well, what were some of the hallmarks of this infant church? Why would Paul call them, you're just babies, not even able to really talk yet, you're so infantile? What were some of their hallmarks? Well, number one, I wrote, very loose morals, poor morals, including fornication and perhaps incest. You know, talk about that one man that had his, the way it's worded, had his father's wife, where we're hoping that's his stepmom and not his actual mother, but we don't know for sure. I know it's bad enough that Paul said, you know, even the Gentiles will not allow this. Even the unbeliever, the pagans, they don't allow this. So very poor morals, okay? Another hallmark of this baby church, number two I wrote here, weak leadership that would not bring correction. They wouldn't do it. This guy, he kept coming to church. He's probably sitting right next to his stepmom, hopefully. Everybody knew what was going on. And Paul says, if you don't correct this, don't you know a little leaven will leaven the whole lump? The rest of the sheep, they're looking to you, the leadership. And if you don't say this is wrong, if you don't do anything about this, that sin, that licentiousness, that perversion, that kind of thing is going to spread throughout the whole church. No. So weak leadership, or very weak leadership, was another. What was the result? Weak of this, loose morals, weak leadership. Well, that produced factions, divisions, pride, dividing them into cliques. One of you says I'm of Paul. One of you says I'm of Apollos. One of you says I'm only of Jesus. There are all these little cliques and divisions because of the infantile, weak leadership in the church. Pastor Dave used to talk about weak-kneed, panty-waisted preachers won't stand up for the truth. And well, that's what was going on there. Number four, you can tell by the way Paul was trying to correct them in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, especially, talking about, listen, things need to be done decently in order. You know, you can all prophesy one by one. You can all pray in tongues one by one. Well, what does that tell you? They were all trying to outdo each other. It's like, I can prophesy better than you. You think you can prophesy? I'll prophesy louder than you. You think you can speak with tongues? Listen, my tongues are better than you. All kinds of little, like little kids in a nursery fighting over the toys, you know, just infantile stuff. And then they were pushing their own agenda as being more important than others. You're puffed up. And there's another one that I didn't really include here. See, that left them open because they were not firm, mature, not even the leadership. That left them open to false apostles. And Paul really got on to him about that. He says, you guys, you let these, they're really, now Paul got pretty strict. He said, they're really messengers of Satan. They're posing as ministers of the light, but they're really not. They're just, they're messengers of darkness. They're working for the wrong side here, and you're having them preach in your church. Okay. I could go on and on. Would you call that an infantile baby church? But you know what Paul said? He said about this infant church, he says, you come behind in no gift. What? God was using them in the gifts of the Spirit, even though they were so immature. Now listen, God wants to bless people. God is looking to use people. He wants to heal. He wants to deliver. And he will even use these infantile, immature baby people. He'll use them in the gifts because he wants to bless people. God doesn't have anybody on body, physical body on earth except ours. And that includes the bodies of these infant church, if he can get them to pray for the sick and heal them, he'll do it. And so God wants to heal and bless, but I wrote this in all caps. Please, please pay attention to this. Being used in the gifts of the Spirit is not a mark of maturity. I'm going to say that again. Whether it's you or somebody that you somewhat admire, maybe a preacher, maybe not, maybe somebody in your church, but just the fact that they're being used in the gifts of the Spirit is not a mark of maturity. God was using this church that he inspired Paul to describe as being such an infant church, like a little baby that can't talk yet, yet God was using them in the gifts. You can't look at somebody being used in the gifts and take that as, oh, they must be a mature Christian. Well, you can just look at 1 Corinthians and tell that's not so. That is absolutely not so. See, from the word, you can tell it. And let me give you just a few examples. One of the preachers that we used to love when she'd come to the prayer center was a lady named Elaine Homer. Just love her. She served God from the time she was real little. Dave would describe her, said that she started off ultra holiness, kind of like he did, you know. Said that she wouldn't even cut her hair. When we first met her, you know, she's a very young, a teenage woman, I think, and had hair down past the small of her back, you know what I mean? Didn't want to cut her hair, you know, and all of that. And she could always sing. Boy, that girl could sing. So she used to sing for this preacher, this traveling preacher, who had signs and wonders. He had, in other words, said this way, the gifts of the Spirit were manifest in his meetings. And I've forgotten the man's name now. She used to tell it, but I don't remember. I'm kind of glad. But anyway, she would sing for him. You know, they'd travel. And so there was no denying the gifts of the Spirit that this man walked in. He was an evangelist, and especially the gifts of healing and working of miracles was in him. He would empty wheelchairs. They would have doctors present at time to verify. There was no denying the miracles. But Elaine would tell us, she said, well, I couldn't understand. I mean, I would sing and God's presence would come and I'd listen to him preach and I'd watch him empty wheelchairs. But I never could understand why after the service or in between, you know, why he would try and molest me. What? What? Yeah, he was wanting to get her. You know what I mean? Young, pretty girl. What? In a service, he could preach the word of God, empty wheelchairs, do miracles. But in between, when he had opportunity, he would try and seduce her. Can we do it that way? Or get her. Anyway, she said he'd try and come after me. Well, being used in the gifts is not a mark of maturity. You can't use that as a standard. Dave would talk about a minister that he was familiar with that would, he absolutely had signs and wonders and healings. I think he also was an evangelist with a tent type ministry and would go from town to town. Again, no denying the healings that would take place, the miracles that would take place. And this went on for years, you know. But Dave says, you know, we'd watch this guy preach the word of God and empty wheelchairs. But then right after that, he'd say, now, if any of you would like a word of prophecy, if you want to hear from the Lord for a love offering of only $300, I will give you a word from the Lord for you. I don't believe the Lord charges money for for a word from him, you know. See, with the first guy, it was a perversion, sexual perversion. With this guy, it's a love of money. He's not been purged from the love of money. And I'll just tell you one other one from my own history. A man still in ministry today. Now, he's still on the earth, and I'm sure not going to tell you his name, and don't ask me later. I'm not going to tell you. Evangelist, doesn't have a tent, but he goes from town to town and really in other countries, pretty widely known in some countries. No denying that he's got the call of an evangelist. A lot of people, he leads them to the Lord. preaches the word of God, has signs and wonders, especially miracles of miracles and healings in his ministry. But I know this one personally, and I was trying to, now we're talking many, many years ago, I was trying to help him set up some things at his website and on his computer. I can date it a little bit. I was trying to help him set up and get online with AOL. You young ones don't even know what that is. But that'll give you an idea how long ago. Well, in order to do some of that, you had to have a credit card, and he didn't have one. I found out later why he didn't have one. But at the time, I'm just naive, and I'm trying to help the man of God, you know, who I thought, well, anyway, I'm not saying he's not a man of God, but he might be a napios, a baby. But anyway, I'm working, and he didn't have a credit card. So I said, well, okay, I'll just use mine. So I punched in the numbers on one of my credit cards, you know, and just to get him set up and everything. And that was fine, okay. Well, the next month when I get my bill on that credit card, he had charged like, I think it was two different kinds of printers. He bought a laptop, and he was using that card number to make long distance calls, even to other countries. I mean, it was like the first month, it was roughly $800 on that credit card. And I called him about it, and he said, oh, I'm sorry, I just had to do it, and I didn't have any other way. And so I said, well, you could have called me. I'll get the money to you. Well, that's maybe 20 years ago, and I'm still waiting for that money, okay? I eventually had to cancel that credit card because I couldn't get him to stop using it. And so I had to just completely cancel it. Now, what are you going to do with this? Here's a guy still in ministry today, still winning people to Jesus. I know he's going to go to heaven when he dies. What's going on here? Nepios. Nepios. Never come to maturity. And I don't even know what other kind of things might be going on behind the scenes that I don't know about. I just know about that part because, you know, had direct contact. See, according to the Apostle John, what are the hallmarks of mature sons? He doesn't say the gifts of the Spirit are in operation. What does he say? How do you know a technon, a mature son of God? He said, they do righteousness, which means they live holy. And number two, they walk in love. Now, that's the real hallmark. Now, they're also going to operate in all the gifts of the Spirit. See, Jesus, again, is our pattern. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, the developer of our faith. Well, Jesus is love. He's the mature love of God with legs. I mean, he's love that we can watch. He's love that we see walking from town to town. Well, all of the gifts of the Spirit operated through him, all of the miracle working, you know, walking on water and stopping the storms and all of that. So, but he was the one who always walked in love. And listen, love isn't always ooshy-gooshy. You read Matthew chapter 24, 25 right in there, and he said, you whitewashed tombstones, you whitewashed tombstones, you brood of vipers. He says, you know, you wash the outside of the cup, but the inside is full of dead men's bones. I mean, it just, you know, he just goes on and on. And it's love the whole time. Listen, love sometimes has to get really strong trying to rescue them boys from hell. He told them one time, if you don't believe I am who I say I am, you're going to die in your sins. He was doing everything he could. I mean, he didn't physically slap them, but he was like smacking them with the word, you know, trying to wake them up. They needed the Savior, and he was there to save them, even the ones that eventually would put him on the cross. And even on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You talk about love. Talk about holiness. Tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. But you know what he said about us? John chapter 8, verse 12, he says, those that follow me, and he means all the way into the new birth. He says, they're not going to walk in darkness. And the subject matter had just been adultery. That woman caught in adultery. Wouldn't you call that walking in darkness? He says, they're not going to walk in darkness. Why not? Because they're going to have the light of life. Being born again, the same life that was in him, that gave him the power to walk above sin, When we get born again, we get that same light of life on the inside of us, and it empowers us to walk above sin. But now, not when you're a napios, not when you're a baby. When you become a technon, you have to grow up. See, going back to the Corinthians, now here you've got, Paul says, you are such babies. You're infants of the age that you can't even talk yet. Really, all you can do is make messes and cry and eat. You know, you think you're something, but but he says, but God's using you in the gifts. And look how he finishes that chapter. Go over to 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 31. He says, as he's concluding the chapter on the gifts of the Spirit, he says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. Now, covet is a strong word by itself, you know. Normally, it's used the other way, thou shalt not covet, meaning you don't want to go after your neighbor's wife, you don't want to go after your neighbor's car or anything that's his, you know, don't covet. But here he uses it the other way, covet. In other words, want it really, really bad. And then he adds the word earnestly, as if covet wasn't strong enough. Covet earnestly. I mean, want it like if somebody was holding your head underwater, like you want that next breath. Covet earnestly the best gifts. Now, it's good. It's good to operate in the gifts. Yet show I unto you, baby church, a more excellent way. A more excellent way than what? Remaining a baby, being used in the gifts. There is a more excellent way, and it's the walk of maturity. It's the walk of Jesus. Now, we're not going to, for time's sake today, we don't have time to go all the way through 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where he describes the more excellent way, but he starts off talking about love. And if you read that chapter in the Amplified, it's like, oh my God, you know, the love of God is just really different than the love of humans. You know, takes no account of a suffered wrong. Oh, yeah, that describes every human I know. Thinks the best of every person. Oh, yeah, we all naturally do that. This is a love of God that only comes from God. But he is absolutely talking about growing up, not remaining a nepios. Oh, I don't know how you really pronounce that. I'm just trying. Not remaining a infant, but growing up into a technon, a mature son. And you can tell that in verse 11. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. He says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I acted as a child. I can add my amen to that. Maybe when I was 40. No, I'm too young. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. When I become a man, equals grow up into adulthood. You can tell the subject matter here, grow up. He said, God's using you, little infant church. God is using you, and we're all glad that he is. Thank God he's using you in the gifts of the Spirit, even though you're such babies. But there is a better way. There is a more excellent way. Grow up. Now listen, you can't grow up by wanting to grow up. Again, I love Alan's analogy of when his son Harrison was about seven, and Harrison starts, you know, they're in the car going somewhere, and Alan's driving, and Harrison, about 7 years old maybe, and he said, Dad, let me drive the car. Son, I can't let you drive the car. You're only 7 years old, you know, you can't drive the car. And Harrison said, Grandma lets me drive the car all the time. What? Well, what was going on there? Grandma was probably letting Harrison sit on her lap and letting him, you know, maybe hold the steering wheel. She probably also had hold of the steering wheel. But she's doing all, you know, the accelerator and the brake and everything. See, but if you would have asked Harrison, are you able to drive the car at age seven? Oh, yeah, I can drive the car. It's kind of a nepio situation. He can talk, but it's a childlike thing, you know, he's a little puffed up, let's say it that way. Yeah, oh yeah, I can drive the car. No. See, and say, well, I want to be full grown. Well, fine. You can want that all you want, but see, there is no substitute for maturity. Now, I'll just tell you, in the Christian life, this is previews, I don't have it on my notes, but in the Christian life, adulthood does not come by the passage of time. Trust me, I can tell you from my own life, and I can tell you from others that I've known, you can be a Christian for 40 years and be pretty much an nepios. I mean, you can stay pretty childlike your whole life. I thank God for the day that he brought Sue and I to Pastor Dave Roberson's teachings, because all my life I grew up in church, and I thank God for them, don't get me wrong. But the end result of most of those messages was, Gary, you need to walk in more love. Thank you. I pretty much knew that before I came and listened to your message. Can you tell me how? Or the end result might be, Gary, you need to walk in more, you need to have more faith. Thank you. I pretty much knew that before I came and gave an offering into your message. Can anyone tell me how? And it really wasn't until we started hearing Pastor Dave Roberson that we started learning about the how. See, in the very next chapter, and I'm just going to barely touch on this. See, the very next chapter, chapter 14. If a person reads this, if you're just reading through and you go, okay, so let's say you're in that Corinthian church and you got the letter and you're going, okay, Paul thinks we're just babies. Okay, I see there is a better way to walk. Okay, the love chapter, I can tell by reading that, that's not me. I certainly take account of a suffered wrong, and I don't think the best of every person. How would I go from where I am to there? How would I do? Well, see, the very next chapter, he starts talking about, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him. Howbeit in the spirit, he speaking mysteries. What mysteries? These are the very things that we don't even know what's wrong with us, that the Holy Spirit, if you will allow him, this is Dave Roberson 101. This is, if you haven't read his book on the walk of the Spirit, it's available for free at the website, daveroberson.org. If you haven't heard all those wonderful series, but Dave was the one that taught us how to, on purpose, turn ourselves over to the mentor, the teacher of the body of Christ, the tutor. He's more than a teacher. He is your personal, individual tutor. He knows all of your history. He knows the good, the bad, and the ugly. He knows all of the things that have been done to you. He knows the source of every hurt on the inside of you. He knows how to get rid of it and how for you to forgive the people and so forth. If you will allow him, thank God for Pastor Dave Roberson, who gave us the how. And it's not just praying in tongues, but that's a big part of it. Learning to meditate the word in whole images. Oh, that changed my life, learning how to do that. Then assimilating the books, another great change in our life. And then fasting, and then times of worship, and all of the things. These are the how to go from being a child, maybe not necessarily a nepios, maybe a little child, maybe a five-year-old, four-year-old, seven-year-old like Harrison. Still not ready to drive the car. See, the Holy Spirit, he is the one that's come to mature you into a technon, a mature son of God. And that's really, well, let me get back to the lesson here. I feel like I'm jumping to the end too much. Paul said again, when I became a man, or you could say when I grew up, when I grew up into maturity, I put away these childish things, these factions. I'm more holy than you. I can pray more than you. I can prophesy better than you. I'm more called than you. All of these infantile things that go on in so many churches. Yeah, but God's using me in the gifts. Well, he's using all of these babies in the gifts. Get over yourself. Again, I'm going to say it. All caps. I'm going to say it again. Where did I put that? Being used in the gifts of the Spirit is not a mark of spiritual maturity. He was using the Corinthians, and he plainly said about them, you're such babies, I can't even give you meat. I can't give you a hamburger. Still got to give you a formula. Anyway, if we want to be technon adults, like John describes, that where we started, and not nepios infants, Paul described in 1 Corinthians, then we must mature into these two things. Number one, live holy. Now, do you know what's included in live holy? there's a thing called mortifying the flesh. What does that mean? Pastor Dave. When you can't improve on it, you just quote Pastor Dave. Let's see now. Mortify. We all know what a mortician is. He said, if you spend the night in a mortuary being prepared by a mortician, in the morning your body will be mortified and you won't have any more trouble with sin. Well, that's what mortifying the flesh is. The mortician is the Holy Spirit. Okay. You give time to the Holy Spirit. I have to be careful because I want to run off on all these tangents, you know, because when you first start the process, after a few weeks, you start feeling worse than you were before. And it's because some of that stuff that's been buried on the inside of you, unforgiveness and pride and the love of money and God knows what all, perversion, this ugly black tar stuff starts coming to the surface where even you can see it. And you go, oh. And then you got to start dealing with it. See, and you're going, oh, I feel worse than when I started. But it's working because that stuff, you'll remain an infant your whole life if it's not dealt with. Those things have to be mortified. And I'll just tell you ahead of time, first you got to mortify the deeds of the flesh. But that's not mortified. Mortified is when you mortify the desire for it. And that can come. At first, when I first quit smoking, my body told me it was going to kill me. You give me another cigarette, I'm going to kill you dead. I mean, the withdrawals were so bad. And boy, I wanted it. I wanted it bad, you know. But I'm mortifying the deeds. What do you mean? I would not allow myself to smoke another cigarette. Now, I used patches. I chewed nicotine gum. I used helps. I didn't care. I got to get free of this, you know. It was a long time where I'm just mortifying the deeds because my body wanted that nicotine. It wanted it bad. First, it's mortifying the deeds. But see, that's been over 20 years ago now. And it might be quarter century. I'd have to go figure it up. Anyway, it's been a while. And now, just the thought of it, it's repulsive. I mean, I wouldn't smoke. You couldn't pay me to smoke one now. See, there's no... First, you have to mortify the deeds, but eventually you mortify the desire, okay? Same with alcohol. I haven't had an alcoholic drink since 1980, and this is the year 2024. Are you kidding me? It's, you know, nothing, there's nothing in me that wants that at all, okay? I'm just giving you hope. I don't care what you're hooked on. There is freedom for you. You may have to mortify the deeds for a while. But eventually there is freedom where you won't even want that thing anymore. Hallelujah. So what are the marks of a true technon? A true child, a mature son of God, ready to be led by the Holy Spirit, by the way. Live holy. Number one, John, according to John, live holy. Do righteousness is the way he put it. Live holy. Now that's going to involve mortifying the flesh. And here we go again. All of those wonderful series by Pastor Dave Roberson that teach you exactly how to do that, and also his book, The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power. You can do that. And the second one is walk in love. Allow the love of God to come to maturity on the inside of you. You see, when you got born again, the nature of Christ comes in, but Jesus himself said it comes in like a seed. When you first get born again, it's like the smallest seed in your garden. So that seed of love is in there. But Pastor Dave would teach us. He says there is a capacity in you if you learn how to nurture that seed. There is a capacity in you to hold the very love of God. And we see that in Jesus, don't we? We see that, you know, John was called the apostle of love. You know, John, out of the 12, was the only one that had the courage to stand there with Mother Mary at the cross. All the rest of them was afraid, you know. They all ran for their lives. They were in hiding, not John. See, perfect love casts out fear. John wasn't afraid. You know, John, I think, because he's called, you know, how did he word it? He says, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Which is interesting. But he was called the apostle of love. And out of all the 12, he's the only one that did not die a martyr. He did not die a martyr. He died of old age. You know, just natural causes. Something to this love thing, okay? So this is why Pastor Dave would teach us endlessly out of Romans chapter 8, telling us, you know, conference after conference, we're all going, oh, I can't wait, it's conference time again. Can't wait to see what new revelation. I mean, the last three conferences in a row, last five, last six, was all Romans chapter 8. Can't wait to find out what new revelation we've got. Here comes Pastor Dave. I'm ready. Where should we open our Bibles? And Pastor Dave would say, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Open your Bibles again to Romans chapter 8, you know. And I want to read that sentence again. Dave would teach us endlessly, and you that were here know it's true, from Romans chapter 8, telling us again and again now, over and over, and people argue about this all the time, but he was emphatic on it for a reason. Over and over again, he would tell us, in Romans chapter 8, the first time the Holy Spirit is mentioned is in verse 16. Let me read that verse. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit, capital S, itself, beareth witness with our spirit, little s. So now we've got both in one verse. The Holy Spirit, capital S, he's bearing witness with our spirit, our reborn human spirit, that we are the children of God. But now guess what word is used there? Is it nepios? No. Technon. We are the children of God. Not infant children, adult children, walking in love and holiness, because that's what a technon is, according to John. Now see, people argue with Dave all the time, and they want to back up and say, no, 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 the first time the Holy Spirit is mentioned is in verse 13. And then they'll quote Romans 8, 13 and 14 like this, and they're saying this is the Holy Spirit. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit, and notice it's capitalized, even the translators of the King James thought he was talking about the Holy Spirit. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, notice it's capitalized again, they think this is the Holy Spirit, they are the sons of God. But see, that's that. Right there, that misunderstanding of that concept. Now that you know what that tells, I don't know, it would be nice. Misunderstanding that truth is a big part of the reason why the church is so powerless today. Now the church has power. We see the gifts of the Spirit operating here and there, and hopefully in every service, there'll be people there that can operate in the gifts. Trust me, that's no sign of maturity. What's interesting is you can, God's moving, and he is by the gifts, okay? But he's using very immature people most of the time. And if we can ever mature to the place we're having Jesus meetings, what do you mean by a Jesus meeting? Where Jesus is not limited. Listen, over and over again, you've heard me probably teach that message where I take seven different times just in the book of Matthew, so I know I'm not repeating as a meeting. These are all seven different times where it plainly says, no matter how big the crowd was, Jesus healed them all. He healed them all. Now, that's a Jesus meeting. See, and if these same churches were, thank God for them. I thank God for anywhere that people get saved, anywhere that any gifts of the Spirit are in manifestation. But see, if I was to bring my friend Tommy Perez here, who has muscular dystrophy, in a wheelchair, can't talk, now he's approaching 50, I think, to any of those meetings, none of them can get him out of that chair. If I brought my friend Homer from Immokalee, who's blind, he received a healing one time through Pastor Dave, but then later it progressed to the point even Pastor Dave's prayers didn't work that time. But if I brought Homer to your meeting, would he go home healed, seeing? He would if I brought him to a Jesus meeting. See, and this is where God's bringing us in these last days. He said, the works that I do, shall you do also. not diminished. The works that I do shall you do also. If we had brought Homer, if Jesus was alive and well on planet Earth in his own physical body and we brought Homer to him, do you think Homer's going home blind? You think Tommy's not going to get out of the wheelchair? Of course he is. And the time has come. We're coming into a shaking and a time that is in some ways it's going to be very scary, very horrible. In other ways, it's going to be the best time for the kingdom of God. Because when the darkness is the darkest, the light shines the brightest. And I'm telling you, it's going to be really clear. Here is light. Here is darkness. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. Choose this day. And I'm going to go ahead and say this again because I feel the prompting. Listen, if you've been putting off dealing with certain areas of your flesh, if you've been putting off fasting, if you've been putting off those seasons of prayer, if you've been putting off just dealing with sin, it's time to deal with it. We're coming into a time, we may come into some Ananias and Sapphira moments now when the anointing really gets cranked up. When the anointing comes in more full measure than it has in recent times. All Ananias and Sapphira did was lie about an offering. Dear God. And they fell dead in the church. Dear God, if that happened, if preachers fell dead for lying about offerings, plop, 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 plop. But that may happen. We may see a lot of that. It's time, my brother and sister. We got to go on to maturity now. It's time to deal with it. If you got sin in your life, deal with it. And I don't care how much the flesh screams. Deal with it anyway. Time to grow up. Okay. End of my preaching. Back to the teaching. I'm going to read. Romans 8 verses 1 through 15 is how Paul is laying out by the Holy Spirit how we mature into adult children. It is as we yield to that Spirit of Christ within us. As we yield to the new nature is another way of saying it. It's by that process that we mortify the flesh. That's literally how we go from nepios, infants, to technon, mature sons of God. Because it's really only the mature sons of God, the technons, who are living righteous and loving humans, that they're able to walk the more excellent way. That is the more excellent way. So again, I'm going to read these two verses together, Romans 8, 13 and 14. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit, now he's talking about the new nature. He's talking about the Spirit of Christ within you. That is how you, as you, see, did you know the voice of your conscience is the voice of Christ in you? That's the first level of Christ speaking in you. Now, he has a lot more to say to you, but that's the first level. Again, I'm going to use my friend Homer's testimony because he was involved in drugs and guns and I don't know what all bad. He says, you know, sleeping around and dirty jokes and whatever. But he says once he received Christ, he says in the first 5 minutes, I knew lying was wrong. I knew stealing was wrong. I knew my language was wrong. Oh, and by the way, suddenly I loved my wife again and I hadn't loved her. She'd hated my guts and I hated her guts, but immediately after getting born again, I love my wife. See that seed of love come back into him. Listen, those first, that's Christ in you. That the voice of your conscience, which is not really a voice like you're hearing me, but boy, it communicates. You know, you just try and steal something as a Christian and that conscience communicates. Oh, no, I can't do that. It's not a voice, but boy, it communicates. That's Christ in you. And when you defy that, when you overrule that, you're just putting a finger in Christ's eye. No, I'm not doing that. When he'll still love you. You're a baby. He knows that. But the new nature, that's what it's talking about. For if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit, and he's talking about the Spirit of Christ, if you leave everything in context, Romans 8, 1 down through these verses, you'll see it just so clear. It's, Dave would say over and over, it's not the Holy Spirit that sets you free from sin. If he's the one that sets you free from sin, he could have set all the Old Testament saints free from sin. No, it's Christ, the nature of Christ. It's that light of life that he talked about in John 8:12. When you get born again, the very nature of Christ comes on the inside of you, and with that nature comes a conscience, and that literally is Christ in you. That's his first commands to you. Don't do this, don't do that, don't, you know, stealing is wrong, lying is wrong, da-da-da-da-da. He writes, he says, I, the new covenant, I will write my laws in their minds and in their hearts. Did you ever notice he didn't say, I will write my suggestions? I have some suggestions. I'll write them in your, it's up to you whether you keep them or not. Well, in a way it is. But every time you rebel, you're rebelling against Christ. And people don't, they've not been taught that. I wasn't taught that. I had to learn that. When that conscience speaks to me, that is Christ speaking to me. That's his nature on the inside of me. And I do well to obey it. You do too. We'll finish these verses, Romans 8:13-14. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now that Spirit is not the Holy Spirit. That is the nature of Christ that you receive. Again, it is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It is the law of the light of life. He said, those that follow me shall not walk in darkness, for they shall have the light of life. Well, that's the same, the life that was in him. He's the original seed. He has put his life in you, little seed. You have become now the seed, his life. I got apples in the refrigerator. I can take a seed out of those apples and plant an apple tree. I get a whole tree. Where did that life come from? The seed. Where did that life come from? The original seed. Only God can create a seed. Only God can create a seed that will live. You know, mankind today, with all of our science and all of our technology, we can make things that look like seeds, have the texture of seeds, smell like seeds, but they have no life in them. Only God can impart life in a seed. Only God. When you believe in Christ, God's life, the life of Christ, is imparted into you. Whew, that's preaching good right there. Infant children are led by the flesh. Did I ever finish the verse? Okay. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit, through the new nature, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, and what, listen, we all want to be led by the Holy Ghost. It's just not what he's talking about here. Dave was so right. The first time the Holy Spirit is mentioned is verse 16. We're in verse 14. This is talking about being led by the new nature. It's only those that are going to live righteous. Those are the ones John's talking about. Those are the technons. Those are the ones who have grown up. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. These are the ones John is talking about. You look at them. Yeah, I can tell. I can see by the fruit on the tree. I can see that they live righteous and they love people. That's a son of God. They're going to have miracles too, just like Jesus did. But you cannot look at signs and wonders and use that alone to determine maturity. Because little baby Christians, these little babies were operating in signs and wonders and healings. Okay, I hope you're getting this message. So let me finish up. We're getting close. Looking at the clock. Infant children are led by the flesh, pretty much. You know, you got to grow up. We understand that. Again, mamas love their babies, messes and all. Mature sons, though, they're led by the Spirit of Christ within first. That's your first level of leadership, learning to be led by the Spirit of Christ within. That's the new nature. Let me say it more plain. That's the conscience that comes with the new nature. That's your first training ground, is learning to be led by your conscience. Okay. Second training ground is the Word of God, and especially the New Testament. Jesus told them, you go and teach these nations everything I taught you. Well, they had to do it verbally because there was no printed Bibles, but we have printed Bibles. And you can read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can see it. You go teach them what I taught you. Well, there it is, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay. And all the epistles and, anyway, I love the Word of God. I get lost for hours in it. I will finish this paragraph. Listen, infant children, for the most part, are led by the flesh, just like little babies lay there and cry and eat and make poopies. Okay. We love our babies. God loves his babies too. He loves you. Look, I don't care. You say, that describes me, Gary. I make messes everywhere I go. He loves you. If you're born again, he loves you. Nobody better talk bad about you either. Okay. But mature sons, now they're led by the Spirit of Christ within first. That's your first level of leadership. Learn to follow the new nature. These are the ones who have mortified the flesh, and John describes as living righteous lifestyles, living holy, and also they walk in love. These are the mature sons of God that John is writing about over there in 1 John that we started with. This is the more excellent way. There just is no substitute for maturity. Trying to walk in more love doesn't work. Don't ask me how I know that. Trying to walk in more faith doesn't work. Don't ask me how I know that. You already know how. This message that Pastor Dave brought us, this path to maturity does work. And again, the Holy Spirit in these last years getting us ready for this time that we're entering into now, over and over, what did he say? Come away with me. Spend time with me. Spend time in my word. Spend time in prayer and worship. Spend time in fasting. Spend time in doing all of the things that we've been taught. And he will mature us into technons that can walk righteous, holy, and in love, that the world may know that Christ is in us. Love you so much. See you again next time. Bye-bye for now.